Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. I want to thank you for downloading and listening to the show. Podnuts Pro is a podcast for business network support. You can find us on the Podnuts Network, and that is spelled P-O-D-N-U-T-Z, where you will find a host of podcasts that are dedicated to IT, shows that range from finding apps in your Android, to computer repair, to insights into running your business, and of course, tips and stories from other techs in the industry. Tonight, however, I am going to do a little bit of a different show, so I want to give everybody a heads up from the beginning. So I've talked a little bit about community in the last couple of weeks. Paco has always talked about providing transparency and insight into running his business. And I wanted to do something a little bit different. I was able to attend a reunion in August, and it, trust me, folks, it wasn't a high school or a college reunion. It was a little different kind of reunion that took me back to the roots of my entrepreneurship. It was a conference for something called NAJAC, and NAJAC was an extension of Junior Achievement. Many of you have heard me mention Junior Achievement before. You may have been a part of Junior Achievement. But for those of you that don't know what Junior Achievement is, it is an organization that basically helps kids learn about business. Now, if you go to the Junior Achievement website, it'll talk about, you know, inspiring and preparing young people to succeed in the global economy. It'll talk about workforce readiness. It'll talk about a whole bunch of things in education. But for me, it was an after-school program where we literally ran a company. We did everything from raising stock, producing and marketing a product, all the way through to liquidation. We had officers. I was president of my company. We had, you know, the treasurer. We had vice president of marketing, vice president of production. We physically ourselves made the product and had to go around and sell it. Now, didn't make a ton of money doing that, but it literally taught us all the aspects of running a business. So when you hear me make the comment about how I got started with MB Systems and I casually use the phrase, I did it to piss my boss off, that's only part of the story. Maybe someday I'll tell the entire story. But the bottom line is, I saw an opportunity in our area where people needed additional support outside of our store. The boss didn't want to do it. And I knew that I could run a business. And the reason that I knew that was because of my experience in Junior Achievement. So now let me try to cut through the weeds. The National Junior Achievement Conference, or what's going to be called NAJAC here, was basically that. It was a national conference for students that were involved in Junior Achievement. For many, it was a platform to participate in national contests. It was a reward for having the best company, being the hardest worker. There was a talent component to the conference. There were leadership components to the conference. It was a big deal. And it's very hard to explain. The conference has not existed for 25 years. So trying to, you know, give you clips and stuff of what the conference was just isn't going to happen. I'm going to give you some interviews of attendees and staff, mostly staff, where we were able to attend for many, many years. And I can't put into perspective, and especially in an audio podcast, but imagine 3,000 students on a college campus. And in this case, the University of Indiana is where we were. 3,000 students participating in an event that was dubbed at the time the best week of your life. So I mentioned that I went for several years. I went 2 as a delegate. I went 9 as staff. And folks, I can tell you that for 11 straight years, it was exactly as advertised. It was the best week of my life. each and every year. So now, fast forward 25 years, and this past August, 67 of us gathered in Bloomington, and we did gather on the campus of Indiana University, and we simply shared and reminisced about our time at the conference. We talked about what junior achievement meant to us. We talked about what the conference meant to us. Many of us are lifelong friends. And I mentioned earlier that the conference hasn't existed for 25 years, but the friendships and relationships have continued. And not just staying in touch, hey, how you doing, things like that. It has been participating in each other's weddings, being at the birth of children, witnessing the death of loved ones. The best man at my wedding is somebody that I met because of a freaking 24-hour bus ride to the conference. So when I tell you that this conference had a big impact on me and my business, it had also an impact on my personal life. And, you know, excuse me for rambling, but I will get to these interviews where you're going to hear exactly that from everybody that attended this reunion. Now, of course, I do have to apologize. Some of the audio, not the best, but I hope that you will pay attention, listen, and get as much as you can out of these interviews that I did. So without further ado, street interviews from the National Junior Achievement Conference Reunion. I don't know how much credit he's going to take, but he's getting all the credit for putting this reunion together, Mr. Tom Kushner. Tom, how are you?
Great, Marvin. It's been a great couple of days rekindling some old friendships and actually meeting a lot of new ones. But it's been fun, reconnecting with my old Day Jack and Jay friends.
Mm-hmm. So sure. Tell us about yourself.
So I live in New Canaan, Connecticut. I'm a banker for Wells Fargo. I'm married with three kids. And before I came to the conference, tried to explain to my kids exactly what this was all about. And I think I've got to do some more work when I get back. But I joined the program in 1978 in my native Brooklyn, New York. To be really objective, I did join JA to meet girls. But what I got out of it was so much more. Just being surrounded by industrious, smart, enthusiastic kids really had a great impact. And I have some amazing mentors as a result of it that are still a part of my life today and almost like surrogate parents to me and surrogate grandparents to my kids. So I learned a lot about business and teamwork and the American free enterprise system. And as a result, built some amazing relationships that have lasted the test of time and distance. As evidenced by this great turnout of people this week here in Bloomington.
I am joined by Chad Paul. Chad, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Marvin.
Hi. Well, Chad, why don't we start with telling us a little bit about you? Who are you now? And how did you get into junior achievement back then?
I am president and chief executive officer of Ben Franklin Technology Partners, Northeastern Pennsylvania. Which was supposed to be my retirement job after I sold my business, and I've been there almost 18 years.
My name is Laura Ryder, and I am a former Achiever visitor and staff person from NAJAC, and they were indeed fabulous, fabulous weeks and very, very special.
As a delegate, where did you come from to represent your group?
I was a delegate from the Rochester, New York area. I had 3 years as a delegate and group 28, 24, and 8.
You remember all the numbers.
There were only three.
Yeah, but
and they were very important ones, right?
You were there for a few years on staff, and so mm-hmm. you were I want to say lowly program groups counselor, because that's how they...
You know, I never was a group counselor.
What?
I wasn't a group counselor, and there's a story there that really doesn't make any sense. But I ended up bringing the Rochester delegation for a number of years.
Okay.
And had become so involved in helping deliver the conference that the program staff of competitions asked me to join as an official Pink Fink.
Okay. So that was your official capacity. And so tell us a little bit about those years for you. And what was memorable?
Oh, you know, the best thing of all, and I said this last night to some of the other attendees here, that we created something that was so remarkable for ordinary people to deliver. The best part was working alongside each other and loving every minute, no matter what the problem was or how hard you were working. No politics, no trying to be somebody that you weren't. It was just everybody being their best selves for 7 or 8 days in a row and loving every minute of it.
What does it mean to be a delegate at NAJAC? Well, the conference was designed to test the abilities of the most outstanding achievers in the country. Delegates were involved in competitions for national business awards, and there were even college scholarships provided by national businesses, civic, and trade organizations. And if you didn't win, you still participated in discussions, seminars, and workshops on various aspects of the free enterprise system. Helene Lawless, Frank McIntosh, and Tony Vendelay explain.
I was really fortunate as a delegate that I had a year that I completely bombed out on competition so that I actually had the full group experience.
Okay, so you came to compete in...
My first time was marketing.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think I might have broken to quarters, but nothing after that, which was fantastic, actually, because you have such the total group experience
right.
Doing BINE Day and doing all of the various things. And my second year, I went into competition and spent a lot of time in that. And it really does take you away from the group experience. Like your group members didn't even really know you that
right.
well.
Right. Right. Yeah. All right. So then you got that. So what was it that actually got you to come back as staff?
Intense desire, perhaps.
Intense desire.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
It didn't seem like there was an alter. I mean, like if at all possible, I would want to do that. And it is, you know, I think it's the magnetic quality of this environment and being back among that and clawing tooth and nail to be somebody who could be on staff.
Well, I got involved in junior achievement in the Boston area when I was a sophomore in high school. And frankly, it was just a Wednesday night out of the house when I started because my parents weren't too excited about us leaving the house during school days.
Right.
So, but it quickly became something else. It was a challenge for me that working with kids I didn't know, most of them older than me at that point,
mm-hmm.
And just in trying to run this business. And then it was just an experience that I hadn't encountered in my time on Earth at that juncture. And it was exciting to me. It was fun. We made products. We sold them. We were excited about it. We made some money. The following year, it got better. You know, and they had all this whole competitive thing that was going on
right.
too. That you could be, you know, an officer of the year. Or you could do this and that. And I kind of liked that as well. So I got involved in some of that and had a chance to go to a regional conference and that was pretty cool. But the object was to get to NAJAC, right?
So you knew about NAJAC.
By that time, I did.
And actually had a desire to get there.
Yes. Well, they billed it as the best week of your life. And I said, well, I've had some good weeks, but not many. So this could be something pretty exciting. So as it turned out, the next year, I won the Personnel Director of the Year award for Eastern Massachusetts. And so that gave me a spot on the NAJAC delegation.
Okay. And when you got to NAJAC, was it what you thought it was?
Well, it was amazing. It was just, I mean, I don't know. To think back on it, it was so massive. Just all the buses that were in the yard and all these people going to this, you know, and we had 24-hour drive to get there. And so you had a lot of anticipation with that as
right.
well. And then just to see the enormity of the people mixed in with the humidity and the heat, it was just mind-boggling, I guess.
I am joined by Mr. Tony Vindeley. Tony, thank you for joining for this. How are you doing?
I am happy to be here.
You're happy to be here. Great. So why don't we start with a little bit of history and tell everybody what your responsibilities were or what your experiences were when you were at NAJAC.
Well, when we say NAJAC, we're talking about the National Junior Achievers Conference,
right?
Which started in 1946 on the IU campus. There were some conferences prior to that. I attended initially in 1963 as a student. I was a high school student, and I came here to compete in a contest. Had 3 years in that capacity as an achiever, and then I was selected to be on the staff as a counselor.
So you mentioned that you had started way back when, and I got to spend a few years at the conference at the same time as you. Anything that you can let people know about how it was in the beginning and how it was at the end? Because we're talking a span of many years. What changes do you remember from the conference?
My first conference was something like 900 people. Mm-hmm. And then I think the next year it went to about 1,100. Ultimately, 3,400 people on campus. Approximately 300 of those were the staff people, and the balance were the high school students.
Right. It got really big.
It did. And the way that the conference was organized it didn't change. They started out initially with groups of 50 youngsters, 25 boys, 25 girls, one male and one female counselor to that group. And that was the basic organization.
Right.
And all it then became was a multiplier of that.
Right.
And it served the organization quite well, regardless of the size of the conference.
It was almost surreal what was happening to you as this was going on. And it was just one piece at a time. Talent show, there was interviews for your you know, there was the workshop discussion groups.
Right.
And all these different things coming together. And at the same time, you're feeling a little bit more confident about who you are as you move along. You've met some new friends. They might be from another part of the country, another
right.
part of the world.
Yep.
You know? And so anyway, that NAJAC experience quickly, I don't think as I went through it that I was thinking about the best week of your life. Right? But I was experiencing the best week.
Do you remember what it was that actually got you interested or to the point where you showed up at a junior achievement meeting?
Vividly.
Tell.
I just wanted to get out of the house.
Really?
The house was, anything that I could do that I could get out of the house was a good thing. And I wasn't really engaged at all.
Mm-hmm.
And our company was sponsored by Eastman Kodak.
Okay.
And along the way, the Region 1 Junior Achievement Conference was coming up, and Kodak wanted to send students, and students hadn't signed up, and they had travel scholarship. And my advisor came over and asked me to go. I said, you know, my parents are never going to let me go, and they're never going to spend the $23 or $27 it was going to cost. Just have them call me. And
really?
And he convinced my parents to let me go to Rojac 1978 in the Poconos at Mount Airy Lodge. And that advisor, 10 years ago, saw a tombstone about a job that I had accepted in a newspaper and sent me flowers. I hadn't talked to him in 30 years, but he remembered me.
Wow.
Because that's what people in junior achievement in general, it mattered. And when you strike a chord with somebody, they become very personal relationships.
That is true.
When I look in your eyes, that's exactly what I see through.
Well, everybody has said that, and people that I have not seen in 30 years.
30 years.
We are now coming back together and having this, I don't even know what you call it, because it's not really a gap. Many of us are just picking up from where we left off last.
Oh, it was immediate. Yeah. You couldn't even check in at the desk of the hotel.
So what was it that actually got you to come back as staff?
Intense desire, perhaps.
Intense desire. Oh, my.
It didn't seem like there was an alter. I mean, like, if at all possible, I would want to do that. And it is, you know, I think it's the magnetic quality of this environment and being back among that and clawing tooth and nail to be somebody who could be on staff.
Okay. So let's now go back to see what got that intense desire started, because even though you were delegate in 82-83, obviously you had to start in junior achievement before that. What got you started and how did that intense desire develop?
Yeah, so one of my closest friends, her father, our sponsor company was Westinghouse, and her father was the advisor. And so since friends were doing that, I really didn't know what JA was, but started in ninth grade.
Okay.
We actually made wood splitting wedges. Made out of carbon steel, where we had to chip the slag off and grind it down to a point and then paint them. And while I was probably going to be a college-bound person anyways, the clarity of, wow, that really kind of stinks, working a bench grinder and being in a paint hood, as opposed to those nice jobs over there where people are keeping a double-entry accounting record system. I think the other thing that was incredibly special about the program then was it was a world outside of the world of your school. And so you were together, and however you'd been defined in your school, you mm-hmm. got to come to JA and be somebody different if you wanted to be.
Transitioning from delegate to staff was not an easy thing to do. Staff only comprised 10% of the conference, and many staff members didn't leave. So most of the time you were competing for very few positions, one of which, and probably the most coveted, was that group counselor position that had the direct contact with the students. Many staff members would start there and then move to other positions. However, Donnie Bush had other plans.
Oh, only 1 year as a counselor.
1 year.
Most people start out as a counselor. How did you flip that on the...
Don't really know. I was supposed to be in conference services, and I got there, and there was a change of how they were going to operate that department. And they said, how about taking a group? And I did, and they matched me up with another young lady. I knew before I got there, like a couple days before, so I called Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Pepsi drinker. And I said, hey, you know, I'm an advocate of your product, and what can you give me for this conference? And they gave me so many free little tchotchkes. We had T-shirts. We had keychains and necklaces and swimming attire, and so our group became the Pepsi.
You were the one. I remember that, and it was everybody kept thinking, how in the world did somebody get Pepsi? Because if you remember, Najak was sponsored by Coke.
Absolutely, it was.
So
absolutely, it was.
Did you get any grief for that?
Didn't get any grief. Actually, everybody gave us. I think it wasn't. It was more about the camaraderie and the excitement, building morale and interest in. And each other. I mean, I used the best week of our life. I kind of took that best and made it an acronym. And the B was for the business aspect of it. You know, we come together to learn about the free enterprise system. And then the E was the emotional attachment that we made with each other. It was remarkable. Every year I used it as a family reunion. If you talk to my friends today and ask them, you know, what does Donnie cherish? Junior achievement's going to come up, not only from everything that I learned about the free enterprise system, but more so that emotional and then the social aspect. And then the T became the talent. You know, everybody who came was just so talented. So I don't think we were really concerned about all those, you know, the Pepsi Chotsky and all of that. More so in each other, I think we were more personal.
So the camaraderie was a big draw for me.
Okay.
One of the reasons I like it. The other thing is that you were able to see the people that you worked with in competition grow in their lives, whether it be in their career, whether it would be in education. In fact, two that are here, Larry Roslowski and Kim Morzel, were in my wedding.
Oh.
I got married after a number of years of coming to conference, and I felt close enough to them. And at my wedding, I think there were probably 15 or 20 NAJAC people that I knew that were willing to come in for my wedding.
So that is something that I've heard mentioned many times. Everybody's talked about not just camaraderie, but this feeling of family. For an event that happened once a year for about a week, how was it you think that you were able to have that type of friendship grow over the years?
And I thought about this before, is that when you come to the conference, you can be the person that you want to be. And probably you're more the person that you really are.
Right.
Some of us maybe have a facade that they have at home, whether it be because of the job that we have or who our family is. And when you come to NAJAC, you get to be the person that you really are. And I think that openness and dropping that barrier, I think, helps build better friendships. That in turn, you know, when you see somebody for a week at NAJAC and you have that kind of relationship with them, and then you don't see them again for another year, it's like you just pick up where you left off.
Right.
You don't worry about all the things that are happening in the rest of your life.
Well, there were so many exciting things to remember. You know, the long walks from our dorms at Briscoe. I was mostly housed in Briscoe at the IU yeah. campus, and the long walks to the auditorium several times a day. The singing, you know, that Lou led us in, the camaraderie of all of the folks. I mean, all of that's playing back through my mind. But the day I walked in, you know, and saw Tom Kushner, he said, you know, hey, Donnie, gives me a hug. So the last time I saw you, you had more hair. So it's like we just picked up where we left off. We've been apart for all of these years. And you accidentally said come back to a conference. This is what it is for us.
Yep.
You know, we convene, we learn of each other and what we're doing. And then we go away. And hopefully we'll do this, you know, on a 5-year, 10 years.
Trailers for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. I ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom. Buys an 8x12 4-bedroom. Mama, man of means by no means. King of the road. Third boxcar, midnight train. Destination back.
Few attended the NAJAC conference between the years of 1975 to the very end in 1996. You would know the name of my next guest simply by his first name of Lou. Mr. Lou Orson. Lou, how are you?
I'm great, Marvin. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So, of course, we have been talking about the memories that we all have of Junior Achievement, more specifically NAJAC here at the reunion. So, I think most people have an idea of their memories of you because we saw you up on stage all the time. But first, give us your experiences of NAJAC from your vantage point.
Like so many of us, we joined JA because we thought, hey, it's a great way to meet girls. we heard it before.
Don't say that out loud.
And I was actually a very shy, quiet kid.
Mm.
Especially, you know, coming from a small private Catholic school into a public high school. And the Junior Achievement recruiting thing happened and said I went along with it. And my folks weren't really all too sure what this JA thing was. And they happened to mention it to a friend of theirs, who was a woman who had grown up with my dad. And she had been Jim Sweeney's secretary in Bridgeport when he was pioneering that office and opening Junior Achievement in our area.
Oh, nice.
So she said, oh, yeah, it's a great organization. Get involved. So my parents supported it. And I went to the regional conference, and it was an eye-opening experience. And some things happened that happened to teenagers at those sort of things that really opened my eyes and kind of got me out of my shell a little bit. And that first conference at NAJAC was just mind-blowing.
Mm.
You know, when you're at a conference like a regional one that had about 1,000 kids maybe, to suddenly be with nearly 3,000. And 3,200 plus or more when you add in visitors and other dignitaries
staff,
that were there.
Yeah, dignitaries, guests, and all of that. It was a big, huge, eye-opening event.
I had never been in an auditorium that large, certainly.
Hmm.
And it was just amazing. The energy in the room was palpable, and everybody that's ever been can tell you the same thing. There was an electric energy, a focused energy on us all being there for the same reason. And it was totally, totally life-changing.
Life-changing is a phrase that was definitely heard a lot over the weekend. If you look up the dictionary definition of life-changing, it basically reads having an effect that is strong enough to change someone's life. I have a couple of stories that will tell you how that happened, both from a delegate perspective and a staff perspective, from Jesse Marchbanks and Michael Hannigan.
You know, I really want to share one particular story. And I would tell everybody over a lot of the times that we were talking that we're here to change lives. And nobody came to this conference this year that didn't in some way change their life. And I spoke about there's one particular a lot of students. We never got to see them because they never came back. But we knew that we made such an impact that go on through lives. But there's one particular young lady that just all through the years. And I tell people, they tell us about your experience and why would you do it? In the early years, I hate to say I was kind of selfish in a way that I was kind of doing it for myself and getting things out of it. And that kind of transitioned. I think about my second or third year as a group counselor, a young lady came from Detroit, and she had a hard life. It was an inner city life, very, very standoffish. And her story, we went around the groups and introduced ourselves, and she threw up these signals with her hands and waving around and then turned her back to us after she told us her name. And it was evident she was not going to participate with us very well. And back then, they were really trying to include a lot of diversity and backgrounds and cultures. They're really trying to make it, make the opportunity for everyone. And so as the week went on, she had to buddy up with some kids, other delegates and students, and they did, and roommates. And then a couple of days, all of a sudden, she started leading some cheers, and then everybody started requesting her because she did such a good job with it. And it came on towards the end of the week on Thursday. We were kind of present while we were talking. And she started breaking down and crying. And she was saying that she had never been outside of Detroit in her neighborhood, and that witnessing all the different people from all over the country and how friendly they were, that it just changed her life. And that she had an awakening. And I remember my own self just standing there witnessing that. I was like, wow, this is really changing. And maybe she went on to do great things, maybe something in her community, I don't know. But it just changed her. And I realized at that point, it was more than just about me. And it goes all the way back from the beginning that we were changing lives all the way through, from the ones who first came here to the very last conference. It was all about changing lives and making people better and challenging themselves.
Speaking about JA gives me the opportunity to talk about something that literally changed my life. Like many young people, I attended the national conference here at Bloomington as a junior in high school, not knowing what to expect or what might happen. And subsequently being involved in the activities and opportunities presented at NAJAC and meeting and making friends with students from all over the country, it literally put my life in a different arc than it may have been. First of all, as conference president, the opportunity to preside over meetings and be a part of the leadership of something this significant, obviously, was an extraordinary experience and an opportunity to do things at a young age, which have stuck with me for many, many years. And aside from all that is, I'm from South Bend, Indiana, and I met a young lady from Palo Alto, California, and this November, we'll celebrate our 50th anniversary.
Oh, and congratulations.
Thank you. That's an example of long odds, but how something that happens in NAJAC can change your life forever.
The name Jim Sweeney came up a lot over the weekend, and for good reason. He is simply known as Mr. Junior Achievement. Mr. Sweeney began working for Junior Achievement as the National Program Director in 1946. And in 1948, he was given a responsibility for a little conference called the National Junior Achievers Conference. And in that year, the conference had around 60 delegates. Well, fast forward to his last conference in 1977, the conference had grown to over 3,000.
And I had the great good fortune of working with Jim as a friend, as a mentor. He would come to all my kids' theater events. They would show up for graduations and all the special stuff. They knew our mothers. It was a good relationship. And I was grateful to be a part of their family as well. So he shared a lot of intimate stuff about J.A. and his experience in junior achievement. He went on after retirement to be like the super volunteer of Connecticut. Was awarded many awards for his volunteerism. And I was there when he died. I was in the hospital with a family. And that was one of those moments to be that close with him. So I count myself blessed to have known this man and what he had done, not only in World War II and not only in junior achievement, but after the fact.
Well, as others have said in this gathering, Mr. Sweeney was a complex person, and sometimes he was very garrulous, and sometimes he was almost sphinx-like, depending on what it was that he wanted to impart. When he was dealing with the spirit of the conference, which was very important to him, that was when he was more open and expansive. When he wanted you to learn something, he was very much into giving you a clue or two and having you figure it out for yourself.
Right.
And that was my first experience with a leader like that, because I'd only really had secondary school and company advisors who were very much, you know, kind of do it this way.
Right.
But his way was do it and you're smart enough to figure it out for yourself. And I think that's the best way to teach, if possible.
Right.
When did you actually start doing the musical stuff at the conference?
I don't know.
There are no records up here.
Yeah, you know, it's a blackout. No, I'm going to guess it was probably around 19. It was either 78 or 80.
Okay.
I was very fortunate. The program director that I was working for was Buffy Kaufman Crumley. And Buffy and I shared a great love of musical theater. And when Bob Richards, a longtime song leader, couldn't come back, she asked me if I'd be willing to do it. And there was no way in hell I was saying no to that one. But it was daunting. You know, again, I had performed in high school and college, but no auditorium anywhere near the size of this conference. And to have the first thing I had to sing on that stage being the national anthem was enough to make, you know, anybody shake in their boots. But it was great.
Wow. I wonder if that, did that feel anything like going into a football stadium and singing the national anthem there?
Your eyes might as well have been doing for the World Series, you know, for what I felt. It was incredible.
So the slideshow was probably one of the big highlights that everybody looked forward to, wanted to see if they got their picture in the slideshow. How was that process, trying to make sure you took pictures during the week and, you know, make sure you got aspects of every part of the conference? I mean, was it hard? Was it grueling? How was it?
Not really. The schedule for the conference pretty well dictated what you're going to be able to take pictures of at any given time. So we were covering everything everywhere as best we can. There were three of us at one time taking pictures. The presentation itself was 6 minutes in length. So you figure 3 to 4 seconds for each picture. You were able to use several hundred pictures.
Okay. Now, was 6 minutes standard? I mean, did somebody set that as a time, or is that just what it started out as and you kept the length?
Well, if you use standard music, you know, you're going to be somewhere in that range, 3 minutes per piece, unless you do some medleys or something. 6 minutes. Well, the other thing is, depending on how you do it, we only had two slide projectors with two trays of, 120 slides each, maybe? So that kind of dictated to what you were able to do.
Frank Evans is no stranger to junior achievement. He participated in the company program in high school, went on to work for several junior achievement cities, and even at the national office. Frank was conference director for many of the years that I served on the staff at NAJAC.
it's hard to explain to somebody who wasn't a part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So your being here this weekend, what were some of the things that stood out to you that people talked about from those years?
The common bond, again, of junior achievement and free enterprise, but just the relationships and watching people come together who maybe hadn't seen, been face-to-face for years, because literally it's been years, and pick up kind of almost where they left off. It's been about kids and jobs and
right.
life in general and stuff like that. Health, as you get older, that becomes kind of an issue. But it was just, it's amazing to me. And it's just, and it was just such a reflection of this weekend to see that energy, that commitment, that passion that people had for the organization, for what they did. And as I said at the dinner last night, you're in all the studies I've ever read about volunteerism, that the people who volunteer to do something good for somebody else off, and it does, it's not junior achievement, it's other organizations as well, but oftentimes volunteers say, I went in to do that for them, but I think I got more out of it myself. And it's just that sense of helping somebody along, helping somebody see an opportunity or a possibility that they never saw for themselves.
Right.
And I think that is just, for the human psyche, that is just so gratifying. And it gives life to people. It gives energy. And I think that's, you know, kind of like the secret sauce of what makes this, made this conference what it was for all those many years.
And, you know, being here with all the staff that, you know, volunteered, they took time off from their jobs and their families to come out here for a week and work really, really hard and play hard too. It was really very special to get back to IU. IU has such a great history with junior achievement, and I get back here every so often, and it brings back some amazing memories from those days.
Right.
I know that face. And trying to get back through memory without being obviously trying to look at a name tag,
right?
Knowing that this was someone who was a friend and that you were close with in those years. Because even though we only saw each other for a week a year, when we come back the next year, it was like we'd seen them last Saturday.
Right.
And so you wanted to show that warmth and that friendship to everyone that you came in contact with.
Like I think most of us that are here, we don't know each other per se, but we do have a common bond, right? And so that just kind of like jumps out at you. You can go up and shake somebody's hand and say, "I'm Marvin, I'm Frank," and you know, we've got a connection already, right? And it's a comfortable connection. So that just tells you just how important this whole experience was. I at first wasn't going to come, right? And then I said, well, why won't I go? Of course I'm going to go. I'm going to go. So I did. And I don't regret it. And it's sort of like seeing an old friend that you haven't seen for a long time. It's exactly what it's like. And you can just slide right back into a conversation with them, smooth and easy.
Yep.
Right? And that's what I found so far while I was here. And I know it'll even get better before we're done.
Now let's fast forward. You're here this weekend, remembering all those times, seeing people from those many years ago. What kind of hits you as you participate in the weekend?
An hour ago, walking into the auditorium for the first time in decades brought back a rush of the excitement and the noise and the energy that all the delegates generate in the general meetings, campaign meetings, and all of the activities, and running into some old friends, being here on the IU campus, and I've spent some time here because one of my kids went to school here, but I really hadn't been back in the auditorium, and the auditorium represented the highlight of the experiences of being a conference president, certainly, with the meetings there, but just the fact that in many ways it hadn't changed, and the feeling of really going back 50 some years, and like it was yesterday, was quite an experience.
Have you had friends from the conference that you have been able to have those types of
ongoing relationships.
Absolutely.
With.
There's no question. My first NAJAC roommate and I have stayed in touch since 1975.
Your first
Oklahoma,
roommate.
My first roommate.
Wow.
You know, for me, you know, I grew up in a very large family in a small home. And the three of us guys shared a bedroom. My oldest brother got the single bed. My other brother and I got the double bed. So being in a room with just one other guy in my own bed was like
a little liberating
huge.
For you.
It was huge. But no, Tom and I have stayed in touch. You know, we haven't seen each other in 45 years or whatever, but the Christmas cards and stuff have continued all that time.
Nice.
Basically ordinary people coming together and doing extraordinary things and literally creating a city and creating dynamics. And I think what in competitions, what caused us all to be so very close was we literally would descend and all dive into what it was that we all knew that we could do,
right,
bringing all of our resources with us. And we recognize the incredible bond that that created. And just that reality of how we've all joked about that it's very difficult to people to explain to people at home that you've really only spent a handful of weeks with these people, but yet there's a degree of connectivity that just transcends all of that.
You know, the best thing of all, and I said this last night to some of the other attendees here, that we created something that was so remarkable for ordinary people to deliver. The best part was working alongside each other and loving every minute, no matter what the problem was or how hard you were working. No politics, no trying to be somebody that you weren't. It was just everybody being their best selves for 7 or 8 days in a row and loving every minute of it.
I'm here on departure day. And of course, one of the things I had to do was get one of my dear friends on the show. I've been interviewing some of the old guard, some of the middle guard, and now we are bringing up the rear with program groups. So I'm here with my good friend, Marky Mark. Marky, how are you?
I'm good.
I am not going to clean this up in editing, so you got to push through.
Pull it together. That was what the conference was all about. I mean, I remember going as a delegate and being transformed, surrounded by all these people that I thought were so cool, and I was cool with them. So to be able to be the leader, the pink fink of that was really an honor. And every week, you start out, you meet them with a bunch of arm waving and rah rah, and then throughout the week you become this close knit group of people who know all the same songs and know all the same cheers and are super proud of the number 11. And by the end of the week you're like, I will miss you so much, and hearts are crushed, and you keep in touch. And we kept in touch with people the old fashioned way, with letters and phone call. I had a time limit from my parents on phone calls because they were long distance. They were all long distance.
Everything was long distance.
My parents are like, you may only talk for 15 minutes. Here's a timer. But we kept in touch that way. It's easier now with social media, but there were people that even if social media didn't exist, I would still know where they were,
right,
20 plus years later.
Oh, from this weekend, celebrating the fact that all of us, in our way, shared our skills and talents and affected so many other lives. And sometimes the routine of life can cause you to forget. And to come back and be reminded, as we were walking around and touring this morning, the different sites, and you think back to the people. And between all of us sharing collective experiences and they're, oh, I forgot about Ricky there. I did that, right? And,
right.
Or you remember that? I remember that because you said it. And gathering all of that has been very exciting.
Yeah, seeing the trigger points of like, didn't this used to be something else?
Right.
And that type of thing. So before this weekend, was there something that you were looking forward to that was either triggered by a memory or somebody that you're like, I got to go and see this person? I mean, what was it that drove you?
Honestly, I think about the people and the experiences that I had during my years here every day. I don't make it a day without something happening that doesn't trigger a thought of a memory of a person or a skill or a principle that I didn't learn at NAJAC or through Junior Achievement. So I think about it very, very much, and that realization that I could be surrounded by it, very exciting.
Anything else you'd like for people to know, and more specifically for people who were not able to attend? Is there anything, any message you want to send out to anybody about NAJAC and Junior Achievement in this reunion?
Yeah, I guess I am somewhat of a different perspective because I've stayed very involved into my, I'll say, adult life, and have been very active with Junior Achievement of Georgia and of Chair of the Board, and we've done some really interesting, amazing things there. What's so compelling to me is how many of us, so JA of Georgia, we probably have right around 100 on the board.
Okay. Wow. It's a lot.
It's a big board, small executive committee, but big board. The number of people who are alumni of JA who serve on the board, it's so compelling to me to recognize, you know, Horace did it right and created something incredibly special that has gone on to really have generations of impact beyond the initial design even.
Wow, that is something. I don't think I know of another board that size. I know some of the offices have had boards of, say, 30 or 40, and that was considered big, but 100 is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
And we may have to do another show just on that, because you are right. There are so many areas where we go into business, and as we're just doing our regular thing, we'll find out somebody else, part of Junior Achievement.
The feel-good moment that we had as we were leaving the conference is something that stays with you. And just like yesterday in the auditorium, people were talking about the flashes of memory that they had just by walking into the building and seeing the organ up on the stage and thinking about what it was like when Dennis Houlihan was playing that organ and what all of those things meant to you. It's great to be back and relive those things, to walk down to memory lane, literally, as we walked around this campus. And can't thank the organizers enough for doing such a fabulous job of not only communicating with everyone and pulling this all together, but also just having the stamina and the interest and the energy to make it happen. Because nobody knows how much goes into pulling off an event until you've actually done it yourself.
Right.
Let's just fast forward to now, not just remembering the conferences back then. What do you think about your time here this weekend in getting to see some of the old faces, getting to see some of the old sites?
And some of the older faces that many of us have. It felt like the first day back at NAJAC on any given year. We walked in, we saw the people we knew, saw the people we sort of recognized and thought, oh my God, who is that? But it's as if we never missed a beat. I really felt the exact same way that I felt every year getting here. And I think my experience, because I was of the national staff and the leading team for the conference, I was here on Tuesday, the week before the conference, and it built. So I was here on Tuesday. My summer staff that worked for me came in on Wednesday. Frank Evans usually came in Wednesday night. Doug and Rob came in Thursday. And then the entire conference built. So I had the chance to start to spend a little time with smaller groups of people until we were, you know, at Max Headroom at the end. And it's been the same way. There was 25 or 30 of us Thursday night.
Right.
And yesterday morning, more people were coming in. Last night, there were more. Today, there were more. So I feel it's really totally reminiscent of the experience that I had at the conference.
Right.
And it's been great. And talking to people like you that we haven't seen or talked to, people out there I haven't seen in 30 years. And it's like we were here yesterday, and you just pick up where you left off, and you reminisce about people that were part of our lives then, people that are still part of our lives, and it's really a remarkable, wonderfully good feeling.
Yeah.
You know, for me, which was probably the most significant, was people wanted to get back to the auditorium where so many great memories of Jay are in the general sessions and the competitions and the speeches, et cetera. We got back there, and just hearing that organ, that pipe organ, just brought it all back. And there was a lot of great feeling in that room, but there was also a tremendous amount of emotion. And for me, being there, 3,000 delegates, in a tremendous amount of energy, it all came back pretty quickly.
You parlayed yourself into a nice little deal. So you're now executive director, producing, artistic director at a place called The Curtain Call.
Yep.
So obviously you've done some nice sized performances since then. Anything translate from your days in junior achievement and at the conference to what you're doing now?
It all translates. There's no way I could do what I do in my job or say that I've had the success I've had in my job without the experience I've had in JA. You know, the basic business principles that we all learned are what I live by, and the things that I try to, you know, work with the new staff that joined me on the team, and the thing that JA taught us so well, and especially my time here at the conference. There are a lot of things that kind of came up during the week that, like, okay, we'll fix it. We'll figure it out. We'll make it happen. And yep. We just learned how to make things happen.
Right.
And when you're producing live theater, it's a lot of things you just have to figure out how to make happen.
You've been here. You've heard stories. You've seen people. What is it that you are going to be able to take away from this weekend?
You know, I think I probably knew 30% of the people that were here, but I feel like I have 70% new friends, and it's all about the bonds that bind us in junior achievement and NAJAC in particular. And so I just have this really amazing feeling of optimism as I travel around the country for business or for pleasure, that there are new friends. And so I'm just excited about, you know, JA and NAJAC were so special to me, but hearing the narratives of others this week, it really just validated how right I am on NAJAC and junior achievement, because everybody else felt the same way.
It's the effort you make to be a friend to others. You don't sit there and wait for it to happen. You reach out and try. And this just shows how people who've had the experience, if you reach out, then just do it. Be a friend. Show up. It's a great gift to be able to be with these people again.
So now, just to wrap things up in a nice, neat bow, even though the national conference is not still around, junior achievement still is. As we mentioned, it is 100 years old this year. And according to Frank Evans, junior achievement is alive and well.
Well, I would say that the junior achievement is alive and well, thriving, growing, would be one thing, because I think, you know, as we've moved out of the company program and away from like the conference and so on, it's a little less visible because of the school-based
right.
things. But it's there's always, you know, hope springs eternal, and there's always a bright tomorrow. The sun's going to come up, and it's just have that forward focus and look for, take on the change, be open to change, be open to new things, to new thoughts, to new experiences. I think that's part of the lesson of junior achievement, and part of the lesson that I think of the conference for so many years. But I think in large measure, as we go through life, that's that kind of a outlook on life, I think, just serves us all well. And junior achievement, I think, is a prime vehicle for helping people kind of move in that direction.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this show. I want to thank you all for hanging in there. For my regular listeners of the show, I know that this wasn't tech-related, but I hope that it gives you a little bit of insight into the beginnings of my entrepreneurship. Like I said in the beginning, what drove me to believe that I could do a business on my own. We all need to start somewhere. Junior achievement was it for me. For you NAJACKers that listen to this show, I hope that it helps you get a glimpse of what you missed this past August in Bloomington. I hope that it encourages you to make the next event. I want to make sure that I thank Tom Kushner for being the spearhead to make the reunion possible. I know there were many, many other people that were involved in this. I just don't have all of the names and I don't want to leave anybody out, but there were so many people that made this a great event. And I really need to thank my wife, Kim, for telling me that I need to go. She has heard me talk about Junior Achievement and NAJACK for many, many years. She doesn't understand what Junior Achievement was, but she knows the significant role that it has played in my life. So thank you, Kim, for encouraging me to go. So that's it. So long, NAJACK. And to all my regular Podnuts listeners, I'll be back very soon with another great episode of Podnuts Pro. And as always, holla.